Voices in Time, recording life stories.
Well, besides all the stitches I told you about, we had three broken bones. Jeff broke a collarbone, and that I can remember, you know. Mm-hmm. Jeff broke a collarbone, and Chris broke an arm before he went. We went to the beach 1 year, so he had a problem with us keeping it dry the whole time we were at the beach. And then Billy came to me one evening, and he said, "Mom, I think he said, "I really hurt my arm." And I said, he said, "I think I broke it." And I said, "Oh, you're okay. You'll be okay." I said, "Sit down and eat dinner." And so the next morning, he said, "Mom, I was awake all night last night." He said, "My arm hurt so much." And I said, "Oh my gosh." I said, "I better take you to the doctor." And he had broken his arm. I felt so bad after that. But, and then one time, Bill was out of town. Of course, it always happens when they're out of town. I had five, it's when the older ones were younger, I had five kids with the flu one night. And they were throwing up everywhere. I had used all the sheets, everything. So I just remember taking them to the bathroom, putting towels on the floor, and said, "You guys are sleeping here. And when you get sick, just stand up and throw up in the John and then lay back down." So that's how they spent their night, you know. And then 5 of them had the measles one winter. But they didn't get them at the same time. They had them one after the other. And I did not go out of that house all winter long, except to go to the store and to church on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And then when March came, they announced that the vaccine had come out. So I remember helping to give the vaccine shots to the school kids. And I was thinking, now these mothers want to have to go through what I did. And also,
chicken pox
had 4 of them. The 4 mm-hmm. oldest got them mm-hmm. at one time. Okay. And it was in the springtime, and I had trouble keeping them indoors. Mm-hmm. And then the others got them one at a time, except for Billy. Mm-hmm. And I told Billy when he got older, I said, "Billy, I don't think you had the chicken pox." You know, there was a time there he had a couple of spots on, you know, but I couldn't tell what they were. And I said, "You ought to go get the chicken pox vaccine." But, you know, I kept putting it off, and he was, I think he had a couple of kids. He got the chicken pox, and he was just miserable. And he wished he had minded his mother, because it was really, really, he was really sad looking. And then it was in springtime. Bill's dad was going to be invested into the Knights of the Holy Sepulchre in Wichita. I was nursing Emory, so we had 6 kids, and all the family was going to drive to Wichita and stay in this one motel on Saturday, and then he was going to be invested on Sunday morning, and then we were coming back Sunday night. Well, that week, I had a really bad sore throat, and I was so busy I didn't even pay any attention to it, you know. And then we drove to Wichita on Saturday, and we got a babysitter to come in and stay with our 6 while we went to dinner, because there was a big dinner beforehand. All the adults went to it. And I remember sitting there eating this steak and green beans and this great dinner, and I remember thinking, "Oh, this doesn't taste good at all," you know. So then after dinner, all Bill's brothers and sisters were going out, And Bill got really upset with me because I had to go back to the in Nurse Anne Marie. And then he wanted me to go out with him. And I said, Bill, I just don't feel good. I'm just really tired. And I said, I'm going to Nurse Anne Marie and then lay down with the kids. Well, in the middle, he came in afterwards and went to bed. In the middle of the night, I woke up thinking, oh my gosh, it is so hot in this place, you know. So when it got daylight, I had a rash from head to toe, and somebody went and got a thermostat, a thermometer from the office, and my temperature was 104 degrees. So I said, we drove back without even going to the Mass for the investment, and we drove back in tornado warnings, and got back, and Bill called Dr. Dunleavy, who had taken over Dr. Cooper's practice, and he came to the house, and I had scarlet fever, and so they had to give all the kids immunization shots, and then or whatever, what did they call that at that time? I had to send Amory to my mom's. Well, she was 3 months old, I was still nursing her. She had never, ever had a bottle. So my mom had to fight her a couple of days before she would get hungry enough to take a bottle. And after that, I always gave my babies a bottle once in a while, you know, so if it happened, something like that happened, that they would have to be taken off nursing right away, they would be prepared. Then.
So did any of the kids get sick from that?
Then? No,
the
no.
And the baby didn't either?
No.
Yeah.
Then when Bill was 49 years old, he kept having this indigestion, you know, and he told the doctor about it, one day he was going to church, walking through Loose Park, and he had the dry heaves, and he felt dizzy, and he sat down until it passed, and went on to church, went to Mass, came home, and told me about it, and I said, you need to go to the doctor. I said, that sounds like it's serious. And so he went to the doctor that morning. We got in right away, and he had a stress test, and they said, you need to go to Menorah, and have a catheterization. So he had the catheterization. They told him he was a time bomb, and he needed to have a triple bypass. So he's only 49 years old, and great. You know, he looked like he was in great shape. And so it was really scary, because at that time, the surgeries were just fairly new. And so we had a trip to London planned with the Knights of Columbus, and Bell says, well, he says, let's go on that trip and come back. This was on a Friday. And they told him that they had scheduled him for Monday. And I said, Bell, it just costs too much to bring a body back. He said, you're just going to have to go with it to have that surgery done. So we were all, you know, all scared. We were afraid of it. And anyway, he was scheduled for Monday. And I remember while he was in surgery, it was the first time in my life that I couldn't pray. I couldn't pray. I was so scared. So I said, I just sat there with the Bible open to the Lord as my shepherd, with my finger on the Lord as my shepherd. I just kept it there the whole time. And then he looked so awful when he was coming out of it. And when he went into recovery and then into critical care, the kid, they let us in to see him for the first time. And I remember we didn't let the little boys go in, but Chris was the youngest one in there, and he came out and just started sobbing. I remember Jeff just taking him in his arms, you know, and holding him. And at that time, there were five living away from home. And by the next year, they were all back home. And Lindy and Mike, her husband, she was married by then, and they had already come back, and they were staying at our house with us. So we had Lindy, Mike, and Ty, their baby, at our house at that time. And it was just, you know, a really hard time. But in a way, it was good, because Bill and I, when he was recovering, we would go, he had to walk, and we'd go walk, and we'd go, you know, out to lunch or something. And it was really, really nice. I really enjoyed that time with him. And we looked at each other and we thought, all our lives have been given up for the kids. And so we decided that we were going to, Lindy and Jan was working for an airline by then, and we decided we were going to spend more time and take some trips. And it sort of started a new life for us. And Bill was sort of semi-retired after that. And he had bought another company, and Nick had graduated from SMU, and he was home. And this company when Bill bought it, he had the former owner working there for a while, and he had always told the kids that when they graduated from college, the boys had to go to work for another company, and then come to work for Hoda's company. But Nick was home in between, in college and getting a job, so Bill told him to go on down to Midland and start working down there. And so it ended up that he bought Midland after so many years. Then we had more or less what is the parents' worst nightmare. Ted went to college. He went to way back east to Villanova. And at Christmas time, all his friends gathered back, and they were so happy to see each other. Ted had a real close friend that he worked with for teenagers' retreats, and he lived right around the corner from us. He was a cousin, and they were very close. And they met out the boys met out south, and they and Stephen Neenan was Ted's cousin's name, and he got home before his parents had gotten back from a ski vacation, so he hadn't seen his parents yet. And there were couple of cars, and they were coming back toward north. They were coming north on State Line, and the car Ted was in, there was four of them, Ted, Stephen, and two others, and one of the other boys was the driver. And he I think he went to on the right side to pass the other car and hit rocks. Ended up across state line and hit a tree. Ted was thrown out of the car into a field there. At that time, when there was a field, it was pretty close to where Barstow is, on the other side. And he was laying there in the field, and he thought to himself, I hear everybody's voice but Stevens. And he ended up, Stephen was killed. And the police had come, and one of them was giving Ted trouble. Ted, you know, was sort of in shock, and so luckily, God's always taking care of us. Luckily, a rocker's guy and his dad was going by, and he saw Ted with the policeman. And the father went over to the policeman. He says, he can't handle this right now. He says, he's getting in my car and I'm taking him home. So that's what he did. And Bill and I were in bed, worst nightmare of a parent. Ted burst into the room. He's got blood all over him. And he starts telling us and sobbing. So Vince was the next one down and was real close to Ted. Ted kept Vince in line. Mm-hmm. And it seems like all the way down, you know, the older kids. Mm-hmm. And then Vince, you know, was close to Stephen too. But Vince, oh, I was so thankful for Vince, because he just, from that minute on, he was at Ted's side all the time. And he went to bed with him, held him. And I mean, Ted's heart was breaking. Mm-hmm. Vince, he was just so good, you know. And Ted was pallbearer at the funeral, and it's just the whole time. It was really a hard time. Mm-hmm. Well, the middle of January came, and Ted was in engineering, and it's time for him to go back to school. And we said, Ted, you should stay home, you know, for a while longer. And he said, I can't get behind on my studies. So he went back to school. A few weeks later, Lindy's husband Mike was from Philadelphia, and that's why Ted went out there to school to Villanova, because Mike had gone to Villanova, and Mike had a brother the same age as Ted, and they had gotten to know each other after Lindy met mm-hmm. Mike, and mm-hmm. they became friends. And well, Mike's brother and Ted applied to Villanova. Mike's brother didn't get accepted, and Ted did. So Ted ended up out there not knowing anybody except Mike's family was in town there. Well, Kathy, Mike's sister, picked Ted up one weekend to go visit Jimmy, who was Mike's brother, had gone to St. Mary's and in Emmitsburg. And so Kathy took Ted out to Emmitsburg to visit Jimmy. And afterwards, she called Mike and she said, Mike, I think Ted needs some, you know, he's still suffering very, very much. And she said, I think he needs something. So Mike called us, and this is another way God takes care of us, mm-hmm. took care of us. Bill called out to the counselor's office, and just so happened the counselor was out, and there was a brother, a monk, there taking over the phone. And this monk brother had gone through the same thing. So he looked Ted up, took him to lunch many times, took him for walks, and became and got Ted through that. And it was, I mean, just the way it happened. You know, God had to have his hand in it. Well, and then when Billy was about 11 years old, he got the flu. We thought he had got the flu. I took him to the doctor, and the doctor, because he kept getting sick, and the doctor said, it's a prolonged case of the flu, you know. And so then I took him back to the doctor, and he diagnosed it as something else. And when Bill had his surgery, I walked back into the door, and Billy was standing there. And I looked at him, and I thought, oh my gosh, he looks like he belongs in a mission magazine. So I took Billy back to the doctor, and I said, there is something really wrong with him, and you have to do something about it. Mm-hmm. So he sent us down to Mercy Hospital, and luckily, a doctor from Boston, a specialist in gastrointestinal diseases, had just come onto the staff down there, and he diagnosed Billy with Crohn's. And it's very, very unusual that a child that young would have it. And he had a pretty good case of it. And so he put him on prednisone and all that. And so Billy went from being really thin to the moon face. And I remember one time, a kid in his class, he was what you would call the class bully. He asked to go to the restroom. And on the way out to the restroom, he turned around and he made grabbed hold of his cheeks and pulled him out and made a face at Billy. Well, Billy asked to go to the restroom. So he went in, and this kid was standing there, and Billy went up to him and just took his fist and put it right into his stomach, and he says, don't you ever do that to me again, or don't you ever make fun of me again. Turned around and went back, and he didn't. And it was, you know, I told Billy, I said, it's great that you have the personality to do that you do, because he's always had a positive personality, a fun personality, outgoing personality, and able, to cope with things with a good, in a good way. Mm-hmm. And I taught him, I said, Billy, he would have a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. And I said, Billy, offer it up for somebody else, the poor souls in purgatory, to get them out of purgatory for, different people. Mm-hmm. It said, when I was delivering my babies, mm-hmm. when I would have pain, I would offer it up for that child, for his life. Mm-hmm. And so he was taught how to offer it up, and he mm-hmm. said that was the best mm-hmm. thing he ever learned. It was, and that helped get him through it. And then after he had gotten married, it had gotten so bad he had to have 2 feet of his intestines removed. And it was so funny, because not that he had the surgery, but Mar and I, his wife, were in the room when the nurse came in to check his dressings. And she pulled his gown up, and I said, Billy, And Mara says, I knew she would. I told you, Billy, I knew she'd find out someday. He had a Superman tattoo on his stomach. And he had that done one time when he went on spring break in high school. And I had, that was the first time I ever found out about it. Like I told you, Bill and I started traveling after his surgery. And Lindy had gone to St. Mary's in San Antonio. And afterwards, she went to work for Frontier Airlines. Mm-hmm. She'd gone to Dallas for training, and she was a reservationist. And she got a real good deal on a cruise. And it was on the week between Christmas and New Year's. And she and four people she worked with, and Bill and I, went on this cruise. And it was in the Caribbean. So the second, when we got on this the ship, we got to the first person we met, one of the first people we met was this priest. Bill and I sort of, we sort of latched on together, and we talked, and about the second night we were, third day we were out, we were eating dinner with this priest in the dining room, and this priest said, "See that young man over there?" He says, "I met him today, and he's not having much fun because his grandfather gave him this trip as a graduation present from Villanova. He's going to graduate in May." And I looked over and I said, well, he should get together with our young people because they're having a ball. And I said, maybe he can get to know them somehow. So it just so happened that later on, we were up on the top deck by the swimming pool. And I went over to the edge of the deck and looked over the railing at a fashion show that was going on and stood there for a little while and watched it. And finally, this guy was sitting on a chair, mm-hmm. said, would you like to have my chair? Oh, I looked around and it was Mike. It was this, mm-hmm. I didn't know his name at that time, mm-hmm. but it was Mike. And I said, no, I'm going back to be with my husband. But hey, I hear you're not having much fun because you're with your grandfather. And I said, you should be with our young people. I said, I will introduce you to our daughter at dinner time tonight. So Bill and I went off ship, and we were really tired after we got back. So we decided not to go to dinner, and I called Lindy. I said, Lindy, and I told her about Mike, and I told her what I told him, and I said, told her where to sit in the dining room, and I said, so just go over and introduce yourself and tell him that you're my daughter. And she said, Mom, I can't do that. And I said, yes, you can. I said, just do it, you know. So she did, and he latched onto our young group, and especially by the end, close to the end, especially mm-hmm. with Lindy. And so we had a great time together, we got to know Mike a little bit better and really liked him. And it seemed like that Lindy and Mike really liked each other too, so. We got home, and what had happened earlier is that Lindy had stopped dating because she said, after after you have a date, one date with these guys, mm-hmm. you have to fight, you know, if you start going out. And she said, I'm tired of it. She said, I don't want to date anymore. So I said, I had told her, I said, well, Linda, you say you want to get married and have a big family. She said, I said, how are you going to meet anybody? And she said, well, I'll just put it in God's hands. So after we got home from this cruise, Lindy says, Mom, you wouldn't believe it. She says, Mike and I grew up the same way. We like the same things. We want the same thing out of life. And she says, I just really, really like him. And I said, well, Lindy, I said, you're in Kansas City. He's in Philadelphia. How in the world are you going to, you know? She says, well, I said, how are you going to continue this relationship? And she says, well, I'll just wait and see if he calls, you know. And of course, he started calling her. And then she was going to, this was the last week in December. And in February, she was going with three other people, her best friend, and two other people from Frontier to Africa, because this one person that worked at that she was going with had worked with a volunteer group in Africa, and when he left the village where he worked, the well was running dry, and he said, I'll be back to help you dig a new well. And he had told everybody at Frontier about it, and they collected money, and Lindy and her friend Betsy and this guy and another girl were going to Africa in February and help dig that well. So a couple of weeks before Lindy left, I got a phone call, and it was from Mike. And he said, Mrs. Hodes, would you mind if I picked Lindy up, if Lindy came to my house for a week before to meet my parents before she goes on to Africa? He says, I will take, if she comes to Philadelphia, I'll take her on to Kennedy Airport. So Lindy and I said, you know, if her friend Betsy comes with her. I don't know whether I decided that or Lindy decided that. But anyway, Betsy went with her, stayed at Mike's house, and then Mike took them on to Kennedy. He called me after she left, and he says, I'm really worried about her going there. You know, I hope she's safe. And I said, Mike, I'm saying some, the one for protection.
Okay.
And I said, I'm saying that psalm for her every night, and why don't you start saying it for her, and you'll have peace of mind. So he did, and then before Lindy came home, he called me, and he had called me a couple of times while she was gone. And he said, I understand, I guess it's, must have been from her, that you're going to be gone when she comes home. And he said, it would be all right if I go pick Lindy and Betsy up at the airport and bring them back to my house for a few days until you get home. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, if it's all right with her, it's all right with us. So that's what he did. And then Lindy could get on the plane because she worked for Frontier. She had passes mm-hmm. on the plane. So she started going back and forth, and well, they ended up, they wanted to get married. So Mike was going to come to Kansas City and meet the rest of the family. And our three little boys were still in grade school, and they worked together where they were a little ornery. So Mike called Lindy before he came He's from the East, from Philadelphia, hadn't traveled much, and he asked her if he needed to buy some cowboy boots and overalls before he came to Kansas City. Lenny says, "No, I think you can wear what you have." So he landed on the plane, and she picked him up and brought him to Westover, and I had forgotten the exterminator was coming that morning. So I said, "Uh-oh, can't go into coming into the house for 2 hours because the exterminator just left." So Mike ends up, first thing, he goes out to lunch with me and the two grandmothers. And so he meets them right away before he even gets in our house. And then we go back home, and Lindy shows him this room and everything. And then it's time for the little boys to get out of school. So Lindy says, "Let's go meet them at school." So they, on the way home, they just gave him all kinds of trouble. And after they got home, they set the alarm at 3 a.m. and did things like that for, you know, to him. So Mike comes to us, and he says, he says, "The reason I'm here is because Lindy and I want to get married." And Bill, oh my gosh, he always gave the kids' friends trouble, and, you know, and he says, "Well, Mike," he says, "you know, Lindy belongs to this big family. So I would suggest that at dinner time tonight, you need to ask their permission also." So he said, I think you need to give a little speech at dinner time tonight." Well, at dinner time, it was so funny because it was a big old home, and we had this bell on the floor that at the head of the table, mm-hmm. where the man at the head of the table would tap on the bell for the cook would come in someone to come in from the kitchen. And since we didn't have, since I was the cook, we just covered it up with carpet. And then we had a 12-foot long table, and it extended past the bell. And so Mike was sitting right next to Bill, who was at the head of the table, and Mike was sitting at the place where the bell was. So you could tell all during dinner how nervous Mike was, because the bell kept going off in the kitchen. And he thought it was the front doorbell, and he kept wondering why nobody answered the doorbell. But it kept going off, and the more it would go off, the more the kids would laugh. And some of them were in hysterics by the end of dinner. And Jeff and Mary Beth were back home, so they were at the table. They were there between houses. And Mary Beth was Jeff's wife. And they were living there with their daughter, Jessica. And it just so happened that it was beans in the bottle time. Remember the story about the beans in the bottle? Well, we started out at the other end of the table, and everybody would tell the good deeds they did that day. And for each good deed, they got to put a bean in the good deed bottle. So by the time it got to Mike, the two bottles were sitting in front of him, and Bill says, "Wait a minute, Mike, before you start," he says, "I think you have something to say. But before that, I wanna answer to a question." He was teasing him, you know. He said, "Hey, Mike, I understand that you're thinking about going into the seminary. And I loved Mike from that time on. I loved him beforehand, but I especially loved him after that, because he just turned the bell and looked at him and he says, "Well, I wasn't until now." It was so funny because he just looked straight at Bill and he says, "Well, I wasn't until now." So it was, that was another thing. Oh, the time that Lindy's boyfriend, who lived in Omaha, invited the kids up to his house for a weekend, because his mother, he had talked about to his mother about the kids so much that she wanted to meet them. Well, they went up there, took the van, and invaded their house for the weekend. And she had gone out and bought towels and because she didn't have enough for everybody, you know. And they were all laughing and carried on. They had a good time. And then one of the kids walked out of the bathroom after a shower one evening, and he had a green face. The dye from the towels had gotten on his face, and everybody was laughing at him, and he couldn't figure out why. And so that made it a lot more fun, even more laughs. And then when they went to leave, the Mike's parents were at the door waving goodbye, and they were all carrying on and everything. And Jan backed the car out of the driveway and ran over their mailbox. So, well, anyway, we had gone to Chicago and visited a friend of Bill's, and he had taken a this friend of Bill's had taken us to a Greek restaurant. Mm-hmm. And he had ordered a whole table full of food, and because he loved, that Mike loved food. And so we had the most fun experiencing Greek food, because Bill and I had never really had any. And so after we came home, we decided to take the family out to Tasso's one night. And we went out there and we had more fun at Tasso's, you know, because they were giving, you know, ouzo all mm-hmm. the time. You were there and you know, they'd get going and throw the dishes against the wall, and the food was great, and we just had the best time. So when we went to visit Jan at Regis, Bill said, "Jan, pick out a good Greek restaurant for us." Well, the only one she could find was close to school. And so her boyfriend, Patrick, and Bill and I went to this restaurant. Well, the food wasn't as good, and it was just, you know, nothing going on besides the food and the mm-hmm. waitress, and that was it, you know. It wasn't like Tasso's at all. So Jan's boyfriend gave her trouble, and he said, "I don't know why you picked that restaurant. I don't know why. I mean, you know," and he said, "that Greek food is horrible, you know, too many vegetables and all this." And so the next time he came to Kansas City, we decided to go to Saturday evening mass the day he was going to leave to go home. We went to 5 o'clock mass and then went out to Tasso's afterwards, you know. And he had told Jan before he had come that he didn't want to, you know, why are we going to a Greek restaurant again, because she had told him we were going. Well, it just so happened that I had left for the lake that morning, and so Bill took everybody to dinner, and they had so much fun that Patrick missed his plane that night. So anyway, I thought that was a good story, because it was we just fell in love with Greek food after that. Mm-hmm. It was part of our life for a time.
This has been a Voices in Time production. To learn more, call 913-831-0848.